Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the precious Word of God that tells us about that wonderful cross, what it means to us, and dear Father, how you chose for that to be the altar, the sacrifice of your Son, who became our sacrifice, our Passover Lamb, that we might have the privilege to stand here today and worship the God of this universe through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for bearing witness with our heart of who you are and who God is and who Jesus is, that we might have this wonderful relationship. And we thank you for a country we can live in and worship you at this time according to the dictates of the Spirit of God to our heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. I'm going to read verse 12 down through a few verses from this particular psalm. Then I'll give you the title of the message this morning. Psalms 33, verse 12. God says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Let me say, that means America too. So I say, well, you're talking about here Israel and the Old Testament and so forth and maybe 2,000. No, sir. When God wrote that, He wrote that as much so for America as any other country that's existing today. He said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Then watch the next phrase. "And the people," He says, "whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all thy works." Verse 15. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death." I love that phrase. He didn't say His body. He didn't say anything else. He said His soul from death. You know, physical death can take this body, and eternal death can engulf the soul. But the blood of Christ don't do a whole lot for this body other than gives us the will to live if we know Christ, but it does a lot for the soul. And this body goes back to the dust, praise God, the soul and spirit's going to be with the Lord. And the psalmist said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." For what? "To deliver the soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." And then he said, "Our soul waiteth on the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according to as we have or we hope in thee." My text is found again, of course, in verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I want to preach a message for a few minutes this morning on what, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening to America. Today, or next Wednesday, I should say, the 4th, we're celebrating what to be about our 236th year. But what is happening to America? Now, I know there's been changes in the last 236 years. I know there have been times of changes. But I believe I've lived in a time that more change has taken to get this country away from God than has ever been since it existed. I believe I've seen in my lifetime, in certain the last 30 years, or less. And did you know there's things get to a point that they rapidly change more faster? And I think you're going to see that. If you find nations, which is the people of that nation that turned their back on God, you'll find that time will move fast, it seems like, or faster when God is left out, and that's going to trigger Him coming back, I believe, for His people. What is happening to America? What a great nation we have. I mean that. I love to study the history. I have a book, I read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I go back and look at those men. We have history of men who in those days have been written, and you hear very little about those men today, unless you can find something they said and take out of context that they didn't mean, that they say that they did mean to try to destroy our Declaration of Independence or Bill of Rights. They try to add things in, or especially destroy the church and what it is to be to a society in this light. What a great America we have. We have a free democracy. I really believe we have that more so than any country that's ever existed. I believe it's greater than Rome 2,000 years ago. Every large nation's government down through the years has changed. For 236 years, America's government, despite the attacks upon it, is still the same today, basically, than it was when it started because of our Constitution and Bill of Rights. Grant you, there are those who are trying to change that and say that's for old times, we're new age. Hey, we're new age, but God's still the same. And therefore, when men seek God's face and begin to set a foundation for an organization or a nation, it don't have to change if it's according to God's will and according to God's standard. The Declaration of Independence in our Constitution still guards our liberties today. Even today, as I stand here, I can come to this platform and preach about what I want to with no government harassment at all, no government hassle at all at this particular time. But one thing is for sure, I better be sure before God that what I preach is truth, because He's greater than this nation. And when I stand before Him, I will stand there in His truth. In this nation, we may say something is truth and they turn it around and it be false. When God said something is truth, it's always truth. It doesn't change. So I have to be sure, and you better be sure too if you have the privilege to teach this book. You better be sure that you studied it, you get along with God, and as far as you know, the best of your ability, God has revealed that truth to you. So I stand here and preach what God lays on my heart today without much of a harassment. But I'll tell you, it's not going to be long before you can do that. In fact, there's some things that the Bible speaks very forcefully about today. People get in trouble because they're preaching nothing but Bible truth about it. But that's the age we're living in our particular day. In America, no one can close one's church just because of one's belief. Isn't it amazing? A person can come to this country and believe anything they want to and still have the freedom of worship and religion if they like to do that. But it's sad that yet even today, the homosexuals and Satan worshipers can come and have their own church in America. You can worship a turtle if you want to. God gives that freedom in this country. But I say, and I believe you agree, whatever you say you believe and come to this country, don't try to change our Constitution. Don't try to change our Bill of Rights. Don't try to change the foundation that this world was set on of those men that God gave us years ago as they set this country up with His help. And I believe it was with His help. And I say to you again, it's sad, but you can come here and believe anything you want to believe. Also, a man who won't use his freedom to defend his freedom doesn't deserve his freedom that he has in America. And I'll say that again if you want me to. If not, leave the tape and listen to it again. Amen. Because I believe that with all my heart. If you live in this country, then you ought to have the, if you want the freedom, you ought to be willing to try to defend that freedom in this life. If you want a father to take care of you, that's in this country, they call it paternalism. If you want a mother to take care of you, that's called maternalism. If you want Uncle Sam to take care of you, that's called socialism. If you want a comrade to take care of you, that's called communism. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to take care of yourself, that's called Americanism. And that's where we live at. Have the freedom to look and pursue after those things in life that can help us and enhance what we believe in life. You see, again, America was founded by men who were seeking to worship God right. I don't care where you look at in this world about seeking the history of this country, you'll find that those who are in key positions were seeking to serve God right. And you can't study the history of this country in the beginning without realizing most people that came to this country that really had the power to set it up on the basis of God in the Bible. Sure, we had people who were unbelievers in that day, but they still had a fear of God. And I'll tell you, I thank God for our nation, but I'd rather, if the nation doesn't even believe what we believe, I'd rather have a nation that had some type of fear of God if they didn't know who He was. I'm glad I know who He is. But then not have a fear of God, because at least the people who have a fear of God have somewhat to help out in society. We live in a time now nobody fears God. Why? Because they don't believe God exists. Boy, is He going to surprise some people in these days. I'm telling you what, it's going to be amazing if we get to, when we begin to see that we're not the, you know, the tail end. One of these days they're going to find out they thought they were the head, but they were not. We were following the head. America was founded by men who were seeking to worship God right. Some tried to build a civilization upon culture and it failed. Some have tried to build a civilization upon power. And we build it upon power, it'll always be somebody else more powerful than you are. But our forefathers tried to build a civilization upon God. That's the reason it survived as long as it has. It is built upon God. But something has happened in this country today. Man's relationship with God is slipping. God must be Lord of the individual's heart. God must be Lord of the individual's life before he can be Lord of a nation. And when God is not Lord of the individuals of a nation, he will not be Lord of that nation. Because it is people that make up nations. And God has given us the ability to understand his word as those who he's always kept on the scene who were born again into the family of God in the age of grace. So I want to look this morning at some issues that we're facing today that's a little bit different maybe than we've heard before, but anything you think I could fall under one of these three elements of society. The three elements of society, what is happening to America, what is happening in all three of these eras of society. The first era I want to look at is the field of education. Education is knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." It also says that in Psalms 111, verse 10. It says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom also. You say, well, how can it be both? It's very easy when you understand what God says about wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is very important. Our world understands that. Our country understands that. If you don't put your child in school, then you can have the government on your shoulders. Amen? I mean, they see to it that you have the opportunity to have your children to learn so they'll grow up. They understand what education means. You've heard me say it before. When I think about education, there are some things that are just good to know. I can know them. They're just good to know. They may not enhance me in any way. It just makes me feel better that I'm using my mind. And, you know, they may not do anything for me or may not do anything for you, but they do a lot for me. There's some things it's good to know. And then there's some things I need to know because I can't survive if I don't have them. I need to know where to go to if this body is wrong, something wrong with it. I need to know some things in life that helps me to survive in this life as an individual and to live with other people. But the Bible tells me there's some things I must know. And one thing, I must know that I'm born again. You must be born again. That's in the field of education, you see. But then there's the field of entertainment. Entertainment is a place where we have the pleasure of enjoying some things in life. Not to satisfy the flesh, but in turn just to enjoy some things in life. And then the third part is politics. That has to be how we govern ourselves to live among ourselves in a society. So let's look at each one of these just for a few minutes. Let's look at education to start with. I'm talking about what has happened to America. And America has not backed off education, but it's backed off of the one who gives us not only education here, but in eternity. What a sad thing, America, to come and people live here and die and end up in hell when they could have had an opportunity to know the real and true living God and go to heaven one day. And yet, education is one of the first places that we learn about these things. Public education is trying every effort today to remove any evidence of God, any evidence of God to live in, or any heritage that we have or want to think about. Listen, people's children in public schools today won't hear what I heard when I was in public schools in the lower grades. You heard me say many times, Mrs. Beta, bless her heart, she was a big, heavy-set woman, but a very loving one, a very fine Christian. And she gave me my first Bible when I was in the fourth grade. And you heard us talk about it. I ain't never got over that. That's good Johnson County English. I just ain't never got over it, amen. It's something that God said in my heart before I knew what it was to be a Christian. And I remember, and God brings it back to my mind. He gave me a Bible, and I still got it. The leaves are gone, and the back is off, and it tore all the pieces, and part of it's gone, but I still have it. My name was written on the front of that Bible. We had to earn it by reading it that year. You had to read the Bible through in a public school in the fourth grade to get that Bible. And I read it through. thank God for this dear lady, and I'll be glad to get to heaven to see her again. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, and did many years ago. But then we have this thing of governing ourselves in politics. Look in education. Even declaring that our pledges of allegiance, our public education does today, that our pledge of allegiance is unconstitutional because the word God's in it. Praise God for the time we put it in there, that we're under God, one nation, individual, and so forth. I went back and did some study, and we talk about today. You hear about Harvard, and you hear about other colleges that started years ago that's supposed to be the prestige nowadays. I don't see how anyone goes to Harvard. If I was going to get an education, I sure wouldn't spend $100,000 a year to get it, would you? Yeah. And one reason I don't have it. But I believe that I could find an education as good as some places. See, some people go places because of the name, and that's fine for a person who can go there. But ladies and gentlemen, what they're saying about Harvard and other universities that started years ago about leaving God out is not the way it was set up. As a matter of fact, that in 1642, Harvard, John Harvard was born in London and educated in Cambridge Union. In 1642, Harvard University adopted a guideline that I'm going to read to you and let you see what you hear today compared to what was said then. I want to let you know that John Harvard was born in London, educated in Cambridge University, came to New England in 1637, Cambridge, Massachusetts. The college was named after John Harvard in 1639. It's one of the oldest universities in America. And everybody knows where this place is at and who it is when you talk about it just about in education field. And yet John Harvard adopted a guideline in 1642. Could I read it to you? Here's what they said. And I quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life." And they give reference to John 17, verse 3, when Jesus talked about himself being that eternal life. And he goes on, and I say now, and I quote more, "And therefore to lay Christ in the bottom, that as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning," unquote, as I may say, they said Jesus Christ is the only foundation that's sound and learning. Isn't that amazing? That's not what they're saying today. They're saying you can't teach religion there today. You can't teach about Christ today. In fact, some of the major colleges won't let some of our people go and speak, or they won't go and speak unless they cover the name Jesus up. I recline myself to speak, because I don't have to worry about it anyhow, amen. But I'm not going anywhere that Christ would not be accepted. Either word, they say, well, they can accept it in word, not accept it in deed. That's all right. They'd accept it in word, though. Ladies and gentlemen, we better learn in these last days not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I mean, his name is powerful. But he goes on and he says, and I quote, "And seeing the Lord giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer and secret to seek it of him." And they quote Proverbs chapter 2. May I read that to you? In Proverbs chapter 2. And verse 3 they quote and say, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure." Well, the world would say nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong for a person who wants knowledge and try to seek it as hidden treasure. And boy, they put themselves to it. But wait a minute. When Solomon wrote this, he wrote more. He laid the foundation of what this would do. Have the wisdom to apply knowledge correctly, and that's what all wisdom and knowledge connected together is do. You learn, and then God gives wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. And that's understandable. You heard me say it before. You've seen people who say, that person is knowledgeable in that field, but don't have a bit of common sense. That means they don't have no wisdom. Some people have it here and can't apply it. You ever seen people like that? Then some people are wise or have a lot of knowledge. Which you rather have? Be better to have them both in their place. And have knowledge and the wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. But watch after you leave that. He said in verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." It's the Lord that giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and perverteth the ways of the saint. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when a wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, how? Deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. Now, what they're saying today, we don't want Bible, we don't want God and things, because this is a public education system. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, you don't find how to deal with that which is evil. And God is saying, if you're going to use what Harvard set up to start with here, God was in the center of it, but then if you're going to use even something about education, look at the rest of it. He's telling us that these things are given to us to deliver thee from the path of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. The motto of Harvard was Christo Gloriam. It meant Christ be glorified. The college was later dedicated in Christo Ella Ecclesia, for Christ and for the church. The founder of Harvard believed that all knowledge without Christ was in vain. Isn't it amazing that people today want to change the standard of a college that the founder did so fit to put Christ's name in the center of it? Something's happened to America, folks. Something's happened to our thinking. We've been led away after God's, but don't want to know who the true and living God is this side of eternity. It was this set of principles that served as a cornerstone for the education on what is still viewed as the greatest system education, higher education in the world today. Go back and you see men like Patrick Henry. He said, and I quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religious, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here, but it's not based on them, it's based on Christianity." Christianity said, as they opened their arms to come in to our place here. Herbert Hoover, you may not like him too much, got a bad name, I guess, 31st President of the United States, but here's what he said. He knew some things spiritually, and I quote him. He said, "Our strength lies in spiritual conception. It lies in public sensitive to evil." He said, "Our greatest danger is not from invasion by foreign armies. Our dangers are that we may commit suicide from within by complacence with evil or by public tolerance of scandalous behavior." Unquote. That's right. We're not going to be defeated by fallen countries. We're going to be defeated from the inside. You can't pay out more than you take in without collapsing. You try it, you lose everything you got. I heard this morning a fellow lived 2 years like a multimillionaire and lived on the street. You see that? How many saw that? He scammed everybody. Didn't even know it. He had a how he got it, I don't know. He found a way that he'd get people watching. He would go as a homeless man and get in these high-priced motels, and he'd see somebody and get their name, they're checking out. And when they check out, he'd come back about an hour later and say, "Listen, he decided not to check out. His name is so-and-so." And he said that he was going to spend another few days there before he left. And this guy, the guy was paying the bill. He did that for 2 years. Not with that one guy, but different guys. You know what, folks? You're going to get caught sooner or later. I mean, maybe he thought it was worth the penalty. I hope they lay it to him, don't you? I bet the guys, he took their place. They said one place he run up a bill for something like $5,000. I'd want him to go put under the jailhouse, wouldn't you? Amen. That would break me in good fashion, they did that. Here's one of the reasons, though, why we understand that for our catastrophe for the day. The reason that the church has lost its position of influence today in American and Western culture is just one word. May I say it to you? Worldliness. Worldliness. That is a big thing. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. One big word, worldliness. Very little about the Christian community can be viewed as substantially different than any other group in the land. We live, we work, we serve, we behave just like the world does. And so when they look for God, they're saying, "Well, hey, you must not have the real God because your lifestyle is just like ours." Research George Barnard tells us that the incidence of divorce among conservative evangelic Christians is high, perhaps is higher than the general population. Now, I read one report that said one of the reasons why a lot of the people in this world who, who are in the world live together, not married, so they don't have to get a divorce. They've never been married to start with. But the sad part about it is that those who have married in the conservative Christians and those in the world who are married, he's saying he's finding out that those who are in conservative Christian have more divorce rates higher than those who are not. That's a shame. That's a shame to claim to be a Christian for that to happen in our day. It isn't that sometimes we have some hard places to go. We have to do that and go on with our lives. But ladies and gentlemen, you and I who know this scripture, we need to do what God says before and after. Amen? We just need to do that. Because you say, well, preacher, in this stage you have a lot of that. What do you do? And thank God the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our sin. Thank God that we don't get into trap and we find ourselves, because of a bad marriage somewhere, we find ourselves completely isolated. No, thank God for forgiveness of sin. I'm glad he forgives sin. But listen, when you get saved and you know you're saved, your lives are supposed to be different. Okay? Christianity is no longer viewed as a positive influence in people's lives. It's not viewed in as far as society as a whole. Christians are viewed as nothing more than special interest group in a sea of other interest group. In Luke chapter 22, let me read to you in Luke 22 in verse 24 through 26. It's interesting. As we hear, it said there was talking about among the apostles. Even the apostles had their problems. At this upper room at communion that we call today, the Lord's Supper, it said verse 24, and there was also a strife among them. Talking about the apostles. Then which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto him, that he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they are exercise authority upon them are called the benefactors. Verse 26, but ye shall not be so. You're not to be this way, Jesus said to the apostles. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve you. He said, if you really want to see how it should be following me, instead of being the chief and the greatest, be the server. Then he used it himself. He said, verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? He said, hey, the world looking at those that sit at the table are greater than the one that does the serving. He said, but you're not to be that way. As a matter of fact, if you humble yourself, I exalt you. If you act like you're proud, I'll bring you down, debase you. And in that you see God in you. Then he said like this. He said, but I am among you as he that serveth. He said, Jesus said, I am among you. And they looked at him as being greater than all. He said, I am among you as one that serveth. Interesting. Here the Bible describes a type of worldliness. Worldliness starts with promoting oneself above anyone else, including God. Here one thinks like Gentiles, not like God's children. And Jesus set the example here as to the apostles. He says in this so many words, first you have the cross, and then you literally get the crown. We know that's going to happen. When we live in this world, a worldly person will focus on things here, everything but Jesus Christ. In this age, we have the natural and the spiritual. Two kinds of people, saved and unsaved. In the family of God, we have those that are said, the kinds of saved people. Those who are mature, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that, and those who are carnal or fleshly. And here we're taught that such people who are carnal and fleshly really can't help God, that kingdom, promote his kingdom that much, because they bring more disaster than they do promotion for the kingdom of God. So it's Christ divided in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. Paul said, no. Some say, I'm Apollos. Some say, I'm a Paul. Some I said of this. Some say, I'm even of Christ. He said, is Christ divided? Absolutely not. And Paul said, at that time, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of those at Corinth, because they've given the one who did the baptism the prestige of who they were. So first of all, we look at the education. Secondly, and the last two will hurry along, we look at entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, America, like the Romans of old, are addicted to pleasure. I read recently where they said that this country spends in excess of $250 billion a year just for pleasure. Nothing but pleasure. When you look at entertainment, if you were 50 years older, You can recall when figures of authority were held high in our society. I can recall as a boy that the highest position in society in my little small town was the clergy. People respect the clergy. They respect the policeman. They respect the fireman. They respect their parents. They respected the teachers of the school. You don't see that today. There's teachers, anybody afraid to teach class in public schools because they have fear. They have no respect whatsoever. It was a time when churches' attendance was assumed a place of worship, not an entertainment place. As a matter of fact, today, mega churches are being built for stage performance rather than from the preaching of God's word, rather than hearing songs like you heard sung by the choir and also the trio this morning to give God glory and honor. And when you walk away, he gets it all. You don't walk away by some type of performance. That's not what this is for. This is to give you talent for the glory of God. That God may be honored and worshiped in an attitude that when the world comes in, they say, there's a difference in that place. There's a difference the way those people worship God than the way you see in some places in the world today. Respectful public safety officials were expected. There was a time when that took place. There was a time when belief in God had a positive influence in society. Compare that to what we see today. Just think with me, folks. Just think this morning. Don't think about what's outside and it's got hot weather and you get out there, boy, and the air conditioning maybe not work. Don't think about those things. Think about what we're talking about here now. TV and entertainment is full of immorality and disrespectful authority and destroying parental images, denying biblical principles. Clergies are no longer pictured as respectable, but they're looked at as pitiful, off the wall, when standing against issues of morality. I mean, they looked at Bible belief, that, you know, are ridiculed, and they're actually declared as means to escape from reality. Bible beliefs are just blocks to cultural trends, rather than trying to give inspiration to our heart to do something for the glory of God. Churches that entertain are called gospel preaching churches, and there's no gospel about it. As a matter of fact, to be honest, ladies and gentlemen, people leave saying, well, I had a great service today. Instead of leaving worshiping God, they leave dancing. And I found out when I was a boy years ago, in my share of the world, in 3 years, I played with a band. Man alive, I'm glad God stirs me here, not my feet. There's certain things that stirs my feet still. And with evil with neurophemy, it affects me. Still have the effect. But I thank God Almighty for that which stirs my heart, because that's more powerful here to help control that which in turn may be a sign of something other than the reality of being saved. So I see education first, then I see look at entertainment. Then the third one, I want to look at the Christian must stay out of the world more. Romans 12, 1, 3. We beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's a reasonable service. He teaches we have to be transformed, not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and accepted will of God. Paul paints a picture of self-denial. And then when you do that, you have others in mind. We also see John in John 13 does the same thing. The church must be committed to serve the needs of others in this context of love, in the context of acceptance and also unity. It's not in the context to get ahead necessarily, because if you let God do what he wants to do, you will get ahead. You will be prosperous. God will see to that. It may take a little time for him to get the glory, but it will take place. The antidote for strife and conflict is peacemaking. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus Christ. Bitters and strife must be put aside before true worship of God can be made. To be serious about influencing our community and our world, we must take seriously the instruction to be transformed, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world cries, be rich, be rich. The Holy Spirit cries, no, be honest, be holy, serve God, and then you will be rich. Not only in material things, but also in earthly things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God never says anything to hurt us. He never says anything to hurt us. I say to you, when we talk about even marriages, if you had a bad marriage, if you're where God wants you to be now, you're just as well off as anyone else in this church. When it comes to what one does, God gives ability to do things better, or not, maybe some better than some of us. He trusts some of us more with some things than he does others. When we are where God wants us to be, you can't, no matter what happens, you can't be any happier than being right there, for God will work it out. In America, we have that privilege. We have the privilege to pursue those things that make us happy and helps us in this particular life. We must remember that God said, Proverbs 14:34, righteous exalteth a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people. May America stay close to God, and you can't do it by denying him. Listen to me. It is a fact that the atomic bomb, and I say this, writing this down lately, it's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. I know some people say, oh, you're off your rocker. It's a fact that the atomic bomb without the blessing of God upon our nation can never win a war. We may be defeated in skirmishes at different places. We may lose a lot of personnel because of our walk with God. But I'll tell you this, God Almighty is the defense for any individual and any nation. He's promised that, and he's given us history of Israel to prove that down through the years. America has always been God's gift to people who love freedom. We remind this old world that we have no room for those who will not, as they come into our country, hold our principles of free government. But that's changing. The world has found out how to work in our system. They come here, and next thing you know, they get into ranks, and they get into positions where, in turn, can change everything. Will Rogers said years ago, and I quote, America is a great country, but you cannot live in it for nothing. Let me say that again. Will Rogers, what, a century ago, almost, about. He said, this is again, let me read it to you. America is a great country, but you cannot live in it for nothing. The broad stripes of glory, oh glory, are sufficient to shelter anyone. But you must be willing to defend our country, country's way of thinking, not destroy it. And that defending is the Declaration of Independence and also the Bill of Rights. We offer the hand of friendship to all. But when you come in, we have our basics already settled. We have our country working position already settled. Today, if you're from another country, we welcome you. And I say that, and I know we're a little place on the west side of Clayton, in town of Clayton, and most people don't even know where that's at. But we welcome people. The right hand of fellowship, because we have a freedom here. But listen, when you come, what you had did not make this country. Where you came from did not make this country. This country is built on Christian values. Somebody said recently, well, preacher, everybody here just about, unless you were born here, come from another country. Yes, that's exactly right. And look what they set up. They set up principles and foundation that honor God, the God of this Bible. Even institutions did that. Even the public schools did that. The first book in a public school in this country that was used as a textbook was the Holy Bible. And it's amazing, in the 1960s, they threw it out, which one time it was used for studying. America has become a mecca for strong voices. Due to the breakdown of a biblical foundation, evil forces are loose in our nation. God's word is powerful. But again, you have to realize God's word prevails only if it's believed and it's actually practiced. This is America. Could I tell you? Ladies and gentlemen, America is wagons whole headed west. America is Pocahontas, 1607. America is Pilgrim landed at Plymouth Rock in 1620. America is Mayfair Compact. America is Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. America is Paul Revere's ride in 1775. America is Battle of Bunker Here. George Washington, Continental Army crossing the Delaware. America is the circuit rider during the 18th century. America is the Declaration of Independence in July the 4th, 1776. America is the Constitution of the United States. America is Betsy Ross when she made the first flag and blew it, and we called it Old Glory. America is one nation under God. America is freedom. In America, ladies and gentlemen, the lowest group in income in this country are far better off than people in most countries. I'm talking about America. What has happened to America? There is a nucleus that's turning its back against God, and they're in powerful positions. They can say anything they want to, and it seems most people, generation coming up now, don't really care about God, so they follow that which seems to fit benefit them the best now, when they're going to lose in the end. I love this. I read where a true story. There was a parade in Boston, Massachusetts, as we close. In that parade, I forget what war this was years ago, they had a float with a huge flag on the back of that. It was a huge flag, the way they talked. And as it came by, everybody was just so awed of that flag. And there was a fellow there who was an anti-American foreigner. And the flag came by, and he made this statement. He said, "That's American flag. It makes me sick. Look at it. It looks like a Checkerberry candy bar." And there was a soldier who had been wounded, heard that. He walked over to him. He said, "Yes, sir. I reckon it does. But I want you to know, sir, that Checkerberry candy bar, you call it, makes everyone sick who tries to lick it." Amen. I love that. You try to lick it and see what it does to you. It won't be a candy bar that's licked then, because you can't lick her. Amen. Listen, we could, with God where he ought to be, this nation, until God comes back, could be still the greatest nation in the world. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time when Israel was the greatest nation on this earth. And all they had to do was just obey God. He had the right system. They had the priesthood. They had everything in the Leviticus system for the tabernacle and the temple later. People would come and look at Solomon. You remember what one queen said about Solomon? All that she'd heard, it was way better than that in his riches and so forth. Dominant in this world. One battle is right and left. And the very moment they forsook God, they lost everything. That when you and I were born, most of us here, if you were born since 1967, I guess it was, or 1948, I guess it was, 67 was the war of 1948 that got Israel came back. If you were born before 1948, you were born into a world that Israel was not known as a nation and had been that way for hundreds and hundreds of years. No, the reason she was not, because she disobeyed and went against God. And God raised America up, I believe, just like he raised Israel, a little different circumstances, raised her up. We've been a powerful unit. We've helped every country in this world. And maybe God raised us up because we do have a heart. We'll fight you if you fight us as a country. But then again, after the war's over, we'll go ahead and do everything we can and spend tax dollars that our people need to help you get started back again. God give this country a heart. But I'll tell you, you leave God out, and we'll be no better than Israel. We may be seeing some of that now and a lot of things that's happening. You turn your back on God as a nation, and God will not hear. He will not hear. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again today on this day. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be born in America. I thank you, Lord, for that we can worship you. I thank you for people can come here this morning freely and worship God. And they come. And Lord, this book is not written to hurt us. It's to inform us. It's to transform us by the renewing of our mind. Lord, we know we make bad decisions at times, and we get ourselves in bad situations at times, and there's nothing we can do to change them. But I'm glad that you can change everything for us. I thank you for the blood of Christ and forgive us. Lord, we can come to you no matter where we're at in life and ask you to forgive us when we know Jesus is Savior. And know we have an audience. And you said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear Father, let us see where we're at in life. If people had a bad marriage, they can start with God and serve you now and be blessed. If they've had a bad life and done something that's terrible, Lord, they can start again. God, give new beginnings. Help us see that. When God tells us, thou shalt not, shall not, shall not, and we do something in turn there is a recompense of that as far as what you said to do for penalty. God can still forgive us if we ask it. I'm glad we're never left alone. Father, when you preach the Word of God, they'll say, if the Lord, Satan will run to some heart sometime and say, you know, that person said this because of this. And Lord, may not even know one thing about it. But Satan is a liar. Dear Father, he's giving a lot of people lies in our nation about what it means to be in America. And dear Lord, American. And so I pray today as we come together here, first of all, in our radio and upstream, if there's anyone who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, if there's someone in this auditorium that knows Jesus as Savior, let this be the day. Let this be the day that they had the privilege to hear the gospel presented, had a privilege to look at our nation, the foundation of it. And Lord, people can go and read the historical accounts of our nation and see some of the things I've said today. I pray that somehow or another, Father, that you would be glorified, lifted up, honored, as we try to honor our nation today. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.